Welcome to Let's Talk. I am Dr. Hassan Batts, your host, and we're in the studio with Jesse Rowland. Extremely excited to have you here, Jesse. Jesse is an entrepreneur, commercial lender, realtor, retired state police officer, and a prison survivor. That's some type of introduction, bro. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Man, you and I go back over a decade.
That's right.
And you're one of those guys that I found that despite our political views, we have built a good friendship over the years. Now we get to see each other and work out every day. It's kind of shocking because when we tell people about the fact that we are not just the hair club president, we're also a client.
That's right.
You know, and that's how I do my intros, especially when I was speaking with Les Brown on stage. And people just say, wow, you know, it's like, people have this stigma that they want to put on you when they look at you. And sometimes the person who looks like they're from the hood, they're the cleanest, no problem. And then you see somebody in a three-piece suit, and this guy has three murder charges and so on.
That's right.
You know, I remember over the years, my brother-in-law, God rest his soul, he just passed away. He was 62. He was addicted to heroin, and he just had a relapse and had an overdose. And he did like 16 years in prison, went back, did another 2 years, did Rikers time. And I remember when I got arrested back in 2012, he was like, oh, my God, what did you do? You were supposed to be the clean sheep of the family. But it just goes to show you that we're not excluded from mistakes, from bad decisions. And every day you have to really watch what you do. There's a book out there called 100 Felonies a Day. And I tell that to people, like
100 felonies a day.
Yeah. And that are committed, you know. And so when there's so many things, you can urinate in the back of a post office and that's a felony.
Yeah.
It's a federal felony. You can go and go hunting and the deer can end up in federal land. And if you go pick it up there, that's a felony.
That's right.
So a lot of people don't understand that the word felon gets thrown around. Like if it's something like, you know, it's carbohydrates or sugar. There's so many levels of felonies that you can be charged with. From your taxes to avoiding to having a yard sale and making $10,000 and not claiming on your taxes. That's tax evasion. That's a felony.
So you went from a state police officer
yes, sir.
To a convicted felon.
To a convicted
felon. A human being convicted of a felony.
Absolutely. I was convicted of 12 different charges. They dropped it down to a communication charge as part of my settlement. You know, going back before that, so I do have a lot of titles, but today I'm just a journeyman. I you know, people say, what do you do? I said, I'm just on a journey for freedom. As I gotten older, I realized that freedom is everything. And so thus why I became known as Freedom Jesse.
That's right.
And I love that because when I listen to David Goggins and he says, I had to create Goggins to be able to survive and go through.
Listening to David Goggins is dangerous, man. He makes you feel like you're not doing anything, bro.
I'm telling you, that guy is beyond insane. I listen to E.T. Eric Thomas.
Eric Thomas is inspiring.
I'm telling you, I listen to those guys. And what I notice is I had to become someone else. I had to become a person that as I got older, I'm proud of myself. One of the biggest accomplishments in my life is being able to take my two shut the hell out pills and not speak all the time, listen more, watch people. But going back to my childhood, I came to this country when I was 14 years old under the promise that I was going to have a better life. And unfortunately, the day we came here with my sister and my brother-in-law, we were homeless immediately. Because we were expecting an apartment and a job for my brother-in-law. I just left my house probably about 6 months before that. I came home, told my stepfather that I didn't want nothing to do with him. He was beating my mother. So I grabbed a baseball bat. I tried to hit him. And he said to get out. I grabbed a little bag like in the cartoons. And I left. And I called my sister at the time, who technically was my cousin. And we grew up like siblings. And she said, yeah, you can stay with me. And I didn't realize she was going through some financial hardships. And fast forward, we come to the United States, and when we come here, we stay in a hotel in Queens, and the job was not there, the apartment was not there, and my sister's uncle said, you can stay with me, but your husband and your brother have to go to a single person's shelter. Well, we were not going to do that, and so we stayed together. We went through the system. I spent about 2 years in the system in New York from being homeless.
14 years old.
14 years old in this country, brand new, not speaking English.
Coming from where?
Coming from Puerto Rico. And fast forward, I've seen the hand of God in my life and how much he's blessed me. And the fact that, you know, at 17 years old, I met my wife, who together with me through thick and thin, 36 years.
Wow, you guys, yeah, that's a long time.
I was a baby. And then, you know, we went through all that. And, of course, then we had our children. We have six children, seven grandchildren. So I am definitely blessed. I'm taking a lot of stuff for granted. And then, like anything else, you go through as a man, especially being a minority man, you go through the stage of your life where you need to have self-worth. And you, so you look at how can I compete in this world that's so competitive. That's the market share belongs to other people different than us.
That's and right. So there are obstacles intentionally in place to keep
correct.
That.
And so I found that when you become entangled to status quo, to likes, to shares, to all this other stuff in our lives, we sometimes sacrifice things that are important to us, like time with our family, time with our kids, time. And so we begin
time,
to pursue.
Time free. I mean, we sacrifice free time to be incarcerated.
Absolutely.
Which is detrimental to our families, to our lives, to our community.
And it changes your life. I mean, I remember I didn't do as much time as a lot of people have done, but I remember even coming home and just hearing keys would give me PTSD.
That's right.
I just couldn't hear the sound of keys.
Yeah.
I remember sleeping was very hard for me at first.
So you've overcome a lot in your life. I mean,
yes, sir.
From 14 years old to, I'm sure there were things pre coming to the US.
I was molested at 15 years old by a coworker as a volunteer in a hospital.
You volunteered.
I volunteered. So what happened was I was living in a shelter, and I was in junior high school, and I didn't want to go back to the shelter after school, so I found a hospital named Gouverneur Hospital in Lower Manhattan, and they had a volunteer program, but it was just cleaning the hallways. And I told the guy, I said, look, I like typing. I like computers. Can you get me a volunteer job in the data processing department? That's what they called it, with the big disk. And he says, well, we don't have that, but I'll let you talk to Zena Cohen, the director. And I talked to her. I said, look, I want to work with you guys. I'm very responsible. And I was a young man. And she took me in as a staff member for over a year, part-time, 4 hours every single day.
Nice.
And I was able to acquire, you know, the skill sets that I have today, you know, going on time and being in an office environment.
That's right.
So I think that we can domesticate a lot of us, you know, because I came from a background where my father was abusive, my stepfather. And I see a lot of young men. And fast forward, this is why I have such a big vision to helping our community and helping our people. There's a lot of men, a lot of broken Latino and black men today that don't understand that they can have market share, that they can make $100,000 a year, that they can.
Easy.
It's $8,333 a month.
That's not a
lot of money.
It's not hard to make.
No, absolutely not. And I always tell people, I say, you can have 8 deals at $1,000 a piece. That's $8,000, $100,000 a year. Or you can have, 20 deals at $500.
That's right.
And, you know, and so forth and forth. So once you break it down, you realize $100,000 a year is not a lot of money. And a lot of people see it like they can't reach it. But I think that...
And it's not what it once was. $100,000 is not much now.
No. Last year, I think my wife and I took home net after expenses close to $140, $150. And I'm like, where's that money? Things are expensive. You go food shopping. I'm on this carnival
$300 a week at this point.
Oh, my God. If that. And that's budgeting. So,
that's right.
And so I have learned that you have to live life with purpose.
So you were about to say something, right? We're going to come back to your journey. But you said earlier that you're proud of yourself. And then you just said you're on this carnivore diet. I have to say, as you shared, we've known each other 10 years. And we just end up in the same spaces together, right? We shared an office in the same building. We ended up going to the same gym together. I'm proud of you because you lost well over 100 pounds.
About 117, 120 pounds.
117. I mean, you look phenomenal.
Thank you.
Our listeners will see that when they see the photo of you, right? But let's talk about that journey, the weight loss journey, because I think it's the same journey, right?
Well, it's a dark journey because 2 years ago, I went to Victor Cimarron's party, who I love to death, and I came home and I had chest pain, so I ended up in the hospital, and I had pancreatitis, early stages of pancreatitis, and it feels like a heart attack. And the doctor said, "You got to get off the greasy foods, you got to get off this, get off that." And so I went on a journey. I first became more like
how big were you? Because you looked happy.
I was 337 pounds.
And you looked happy. You were in love. You were always cheerful to me when I saw you.
Yeah, I was. Yeah. You know, I was always a big guy, and I was a functional big guy.
You really were.
I was functional, and I had big legs. And
you were 300 and how much?
337 was my highest. I was averaging 280 to 290 at all times.
And where are you at now?
I'm at 224 pounds this morning. I'm at 34 waist. Well, as they say, 34 Dominican, 35 Puerto Rican, because it's tied to Dominicans. So I put on my pants. I'm at 34. I'm almost at 33. And I tell you, it really is a miracle. But the thing about the journey is that I came home short after that, and I was going through a financial struggle. I just went through a big financial situation. And about a year and a half ago, I came home, and for about a minute, I felt useless. I felt like, my God, I'm overweight. I can't perform as a man. I'm just laying there.
No one talks about that.
No. And I looked at my ceilings, are about 30 foot high ceilings, and we have a beam in the middle. And I just said to myself, I should just hang myself. Mm. I should just end it. My wife will get a nice life insurance. Mm. She'll have a better life. She'll find somebody better. And about 5 seconds after that thought, another thought came in. She said that the Lord put in my heart that said, you have a purpose, Jesse. You have a reason why you're here. Your journey is not finished. And I said, Lord, I can't do this anymore.
I'm glad you chose not to do that.
And because I do value life and I value, but sometimes men deal with such an intense amount of pain we are taught to not show
alone.
Alone. And that's why today if you ask me, and I own 4 businesses and I love what I do, but my dream is to coach and to work with men, broken men. Latino, black men, minority men, men that don't understand that, that they can feel love again and get a good hug and understand that people love them, that there's people out there cheering for them. We need that. Men building men.
That's right.
And that's what the
brotherhood. We talk brotherhood, about that. Brotherhood is everything, man.
Nothing to do with politics.
You could be laying next to the most beautiful, brilliant wife, partner in the world, but there are things you can't share with them.
You cannot
share
with
your brothers.
And I've learned that. I just talked to a friend of mine. He's going through something in his marriage, and we sit down. We're about each other's age, and we can discuss that, and we can encourage each other. I have a circle of friends that I can call them anytime. I'm like, dude, I'm struggling. I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling with that. I have friends of mine that are pastors that are struggling with porn, that are struggling with sex addiction.
They can't tell anyone, but
they
their
can't
brothers.
Tell anybody because they're ministers. They have churches listening to them. And then they're like, who do I talk to? So we need to go back to building. I believe that the foundation to any city, to any culture is good brotherhood. Mm. Men are the builders, the foundational builders for a society. There's nothing wrong with being an alpha male. There's nothing wrong. I've learned over the years I told this to my grandkids the other day. I said, it's okay to be violent. Just use violence for righteousness. To stop somebody abusing somebody, to stop somebody robbing somebody. But violence, abusing somebody else, that's called bullying.
That's right.
We don't bully people, but we defend the weak. We defend those who are struggling. That's what we're supposed to do as men. And
they say you have to have the capacity for violence.
Absolutely.
And then you choose peace. You
know who said
the
that?
Sword.
Jordan Peterson said
Jordan
that.
Jordan Peterson.
That's right.
If you're not
virtue.
Violent, you're like a rabbit.
You're like a rabbit.
You're like a rabbit.
And now, here's the best part. A hero is not a hero without a villain.
That's right.
Batman without the Joker is just a freak and a costume.
Yeah.
He's the hero because of the villain.
That's right.
It is the villain.
Because of the pain he overcame.
That's right. And it's the villain in us that allows us to be the hero in us. Because when I look at my life and I look at the pathetic old me, that I'm afraid to say no, the push over me, that guy is very, very weak. That guy just wants to take it easy. That guy doesn't want to get up at 3 o'clock
in the
morning.
No conflict.
No conflict. Yeah, right now.
You're at the gym. The gym opens at 5 and I see you there by 6 o'clock.
I'm sometimes, on an average week, I'm 5:30 to 6 o'clock.
Yeah, I see you there. Yeah.
And sometimes, like tomorrow is Wednesday, it's B&I, so I'm there at 5 o'clock sharp.
That's right.
I'm out of there by 6:15.
So you've got a level of commitment and you're serious. You're in there, you're doing what you need to do.
I go to sleep at 9. Yeah. I'm in bed by 9:15. I fall asleep by 9:30.
Recipe for success, man.
Yeah, and I do it, and I have my clothes ready in the car, and my wife already knows. Like, listen, when you're not waking me up on my REM sleep, I get my 5 to 6 hours. They say 45 minutes is a full cycle of sleep.
That's right.
So I do 4 to 5 cycles of 45 minutes. I rest well. I don't eat after 5 o'clock. I only eat once a day, sometimes every other day. Like, I take life serious and intentionally because
if you
don't. And
the change was the pancreatitis.
The change was the pancreatitis, the depression, the obesity, the low testosterone. I was very low T, high estrogen. And so I learned a lot about the metabolic part of the body, how we're supposed to eat. And the foods that are given us today are being given by a sect of people that would like to keep you sick because there's profit.
That our ops are feeding us is what they would call them. Our enemies.
That's right. They know that through entertainment and through food, they can control the masses of non-highly intelligent men.
That's it.
Because they know that if you have high cholesterol, you have high IQ. If you have high health, you have high IQ. If you take care of yourself and you break the muscle down, you break the mind, you're able to build And, you know, you get your endorphins. They say that two types of endorphins, the ones that are long-term painful, that are steady, or the ones that are quick and rush. Mm. And a lot of men choose the quick and short. And,
that's right.
And
that's right.
Unfortunately, you know, but...
dopamine spikes,
oh, endorphins. My God.
Listen, we're going to take a break. We're here listening to Let's Talk, Dr. Hassan Batts. We have Jesse Rowland in the studio. When we come back, we're going to talk more about life, love, but really about your philosophies on success and how do people make that turnaround, that shift, all right?
WDIY presents a selection of award-winning podcasts that air weeknights from 6 to 7 p.m. Listen to important conversations regarding art, science, business, health, and more here in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Check our website for new topics and archived programs. WDIY podcasts are on 88.1 FM, streaming at wdiy.org, on the app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Let's Talk. You're here with Dr. Hassan Batts, your host, in the studio with Jesse Rowland, entrepreneur, commercial lender, former state police officer, prison survivor, survivor of suicidal thoughts. That's the first time I'd heard that, but I'm so glad that you chose to be here with us and that you continue to choose to be here with us every day, man. You are a gift to the world, Jesse. You really are. So thank you.
Thank
for
you.
All that you do. Every time I talk to you, you're always talking about giving.
Thank you.
You know, how do you help people
Thank
outside
you.
Of yourself? So you, it is possible to make lots of money and to do good in the community and in the world.
So I'll go back to a good friend of mine. His name is Dante Raul Teodoro. He was awarded one of the best Asian businesses. He was my ex-partner. And years ago, we purchased a business called American Fair Credit Association. We used to help people repair with their credit and build credit. And we were in Colorado, and we were going out to lunch. And I was just a young entrepreneur. I was one of the partners. And the vice president of operations says, "We're taking you guys to eat. You're our new franchisee." And to which I actually spoke out of context, and I said, "Great, we're going for lobsters and steak." And he looked at me with his big eyes. We get back to the hotel, and he goes, "Jesse," he says, "little talk, little problem. Big talk, big problem. No talk, no problem." And I learned that, I had to mold myself as a young man, as a young entrepreneur being in business. And fast forward, when I look at all the things that I've gone through in my life, I have found that it comes down to limiting beliefs. It comes down to when you speak a lot, and I over the years, I became someone who would just spew like a machine gun without a safety. It was like just spewed out. I wouldn't think about it. I get myself into situations. I embarrass myself because I would just say whatever comes up to my mind without any regards. And that comes as weakness. And I remember fast forward when I became a realtor with a certain rent company in the Lehigh Valley. There's a gentleman that is in the commercial space. And I remember going to him and he said, "Oh, how are you doing with this listing?" I had a commercial listing. I said, "Well, I just sold it." He said, "Did you sell it or is it on the contract?" I said, "Well, it's on the contract." And he proceeded to say, "Well, stop bragging because you didn't sell it. It's just on the contract." Mm-hmm. And I got really offended. I went to my friend Ty, and I said to Ty, like, "This guy's just picking on me, blah, blah, blah." And I'll never forget what he said to me. He said, "Jesse, you're the problem." And I was like, "Excuse me? What do you mean I'm the problem?" I just went to him. He says, "You come into a room with a view of having this authority because you were a cop, you know, you have this military background and you want to just come into the room and control. You have to come into a room from a point of contribution. People don't want to compete with you. They don't want that persona that you're coming in. Learn to listen, learn to." And I remember going home and being devastated by that. And I was upset. But then I gave some thought on my meditation time. I got to meditate. I said, "You know what, Jesse, you're the problems." And it's taken me about 51, 52 years of my life to, in the last year or two, to realize I don't have anybody to impress. I have to impress me. I have to work hard on me. The worst enemy in my life is me.
That's right.
It's not my wife. It's not my kids. It's not my colleagues. It's not my competitors. And I've had competitors that have done vile things.
Try to destroy you.
Yeah, they try to destroy you. They try to destroy your reputation. Yeah. I remember when I came home from prison, there was a gentleman locally that had a credit card company like myself, and he went around town just destroying my name.
Yeah.
And I was like so devastated, and I remember. But now when I start my conversation and I tell people about my background, they almost look in shock, and some people indignantly say to me, don't bring that up. You don't have to tell people about your past.
And you lead with that.
I lead with that. That's right. Want them to know my past. That's right. I want them to know that there is hope after prison. That
there's
there is hope
after prison. Absolutely. We talk about that all the time.
Yeah, there's hope after prison. There is.
But you need those inspirational examples.
Correct.
Right? In order to know the possibilities. Because you know Uncle Tony's been going back and forth his whole life. So people like you and I show people that after prison, you can be successful.
Correct. And so I was at a U-Haul recently with my friend Juan. And, you know, he's a tall dude. And he's waiting outside. And he has this other guy with him. And when I came out, because my walk still very police-like, when I walk into a room, my presence, he backed out. And he's like, yo, what's up? And I was like, yo, what's up? So he's like, what's up? I said, you tell me what's up. We're doing this? And I knew, I can tell the guy was excitable. So I thought it was funny. I said, let me build rapport with him. It takes about 30 seconds to build rapport with an individual. And so I took him really high on his emotional roller coaster. And then I brought him down. I'm like, dude, come down. I'm his friend, blah, blah, blah. He's like, yo, I was ready for you. And so I started talking to him and I said, how you doing? He says, ah. I said, you're hurting, aren't you? Dude, this guy started crying.
Yeah.
Pouring. He's about to go. He's going back to prison in 2 weeks at that time to do a 2-year bid. This is his fourth bid. In and out, in and out, in and out. And I said to him, I said, God has a plan for you, my friend. Why don't you take this 2 years, go back and then become studious. Start building something. Think about a business plan. Think about something. When you come out, you can
develop some healthy habits.
Exactly. Some healthy habits. Work on yourself. Get set free from all this limiting beliefs. And I said to him, I said, do you mind if I pray with you? And I prayed with him, and he gave me a big hug. This guy that was ready to jump and beat my butt, and he could have. He could have.
He wanted to express that pain. He
had all this pain.
He had to release it.
And I saw him, and Yamil looked at me. He goes, man, Jesse, this is your calling. I said, dude, I feel such a love for this guy. Like, I literally felt this emotional attachment to seeing his pain. It was like I can relate to that. There was no, are you a Democrat? Are you a Republican? Are you an independent? Are you green? Are you LGBT? It was not that. It's like, this is a broken man.
Human to human.
It's a human to human. And that's what we need. We need to go back to, do we care enough? There's a verse in the Bible says, love thy neighbor as yourself. Do you love your neighbor as yourself? I live in a white predominantly community, and I've been played races against. And you know what? I show them by example. I show them by example. I do demand respect, and I will demand respect, but mm-hmm. I show them by example. And so I think that what we touched on before is limiting beliefs. If you're coming out of prison, and if you're looking to start brand new, the first thing you need to do is look at your life and the undisciplined habits that you need to break. It takes about 80 times to break a habit. It takes about 16 times to build a habit. So it took me about 8 months to go from getting up at 7, 8 o'clock in the morning to getting up at 3, 4 o'clock in the morning.
That's right.
So I did 15 minutes at a time. Every week I said, I'm going to get up 15 minutes early, 20 minutes
and
early.
Now you no longer need an alarm clock.
No, I get up at 3:30, 4 o'clock that's on my own. Bam,
every
I'm
day.
Up.
I'm with you.
I'm up. And so I've learned that. And then my wife will say, man, that's intense. I said, no, I get to beat the world at their own game. When I'm up at 3:30 in the morning, I could spend that time with the Lord.
You have a head start.
I spend that time with the Lord. I get my mind together. I have my clothes ready to go. I get in the car. I have 40 minutes to listen to podcasts or to listen to the Word. And I am able to feed my soul and look at my life. And when I get in the office at 7:40 in the morning, nobody's there. I'm by myself. I have that time with my coffee. That's and right. I look at my life and I say, okay, Jesse, what are we conquering today? What are we doing? That's I right. want to live life intentional. So my word to anybody coming out to prison, the reason why we end up in prison is because we want shortcuts. We're not willing to pay the price now for the better life later.
That's right.
We want easy things now. And it doesn't work that way. Weak men create hard times. Hard times create strong men. And so if we are willing to take on the hard task of, I got to lose 120 pounds, that's hard. That was the hardest thing I had
it's not
to do.
Easy.
It wasn't easy.
Not easy.
I had to get my body detoxified. I was addicted to sugar. I was addicted to eating out of comfort. I had to learn that I only ate because I needed some comfort in my life. Mm-hmm. I don't need comfort in food. I need comfort in the Lord. I need comfort on a purpose in my life. Men are not supposed to be happy. That's the problem with today. We're seeking happiness.
You sound like Andrew Tate, man.
Maybe I got that from him. But you know what I mean? We're not supposed to be happy.
I'm with you.
And you know what I've learned? That the more I don't want to be happy, the happier I am.
The happier you are.
Dude, it's incredible.
Because you're not chasing happiness.
I'm not chasing
happiness.
You're creating
a life where people around you are happy.
And by them being happy, I reciprocate in their happiness. When I see my granddaughter saying, Buelo got me a new bike and I can afford to give her a new bike, I see her little face. That's she fell the other day. I'm like, get your butt back up. And she's riding her little bike. And then I get to play basketball with my grandkids and my property. And I see my wife, and my wife is thriving and my family's thriving. And I see, even with the efforts, I have three kids went to prison. Three of my kids. It's like people will look at me and say, oh, this guy is really, he's lucky and he has a nice life and he has a Maserati and he has this, he has that. They don't understand the pain that we go through. My one daughter is bipolar. She just crashed my car. You know, she goes through this stuff. We're raising her kids. So every family has their dark moments.
You push through it.
You push through and you concentrate on those wonderful moments, the good news that you have your eyesight, that you can still move, that I can still eat.
So you walk through the world from a place of appreciation.
Oh, a gratitude. They say take your gratitude pills every day. Mm. You have to be grateful. Even when you deal with...
So you're talking about vision. You're talking about hard work. You're talking about appreciation. You're talking about paying it forward.
That's right.
These are the messages, the themes that I'm hearing.
That is the formula. So if we had to put a formula for a brand new man or woman that came out of prison, mm-hmm. and we tell them the 10 things that they should do is start with being grateful. Mm. Grateful. You're home. You can eat anything you want. I remember coming home, and all I wanted to eat was eat pan sobao, which is the Spanish sugar, carbohydrate, endorphin-feeding sweet bread, mm-hmm. or cocoa bread. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. And have some cheese with mm-hmm. a cup of coffee. That's all I wanted. Mm-hmm. I was like, I was missing that. And I remember having that. I was like in tears. I was eating a sandwich, a cheese toasted sandwich,
those small things.
In tears, crying and saying to my wife, thank you. My wife received me home like the young man that left his family, went to sin, the something son in the Bible. And she received me with a ring. We used to own a barter company. She bought me this $5,000 ring on barter. And when she came home, she gave me this ring. She gave me a brand new phone. She gave me a hug. And I remember how grateful I was to be home, to not have been taking my family for granted.
That's right.
And so now...
You were in federal prison.
I was in federal prison.
So you could have been murdered easily.
Not only that, the thing that was interesting...
And you were a cop.
I was a cop, but I found out that they send you to a specific prison where there's a lot of cops, because I didn't know that, because I almost got into a fight with a guy there. I had to face my biggest fear, get jumped by 30 guys because I had to earn my respect. And they were ready to jump me, and the guy behind me said, you're not touching his government. I'm like, what do you mean government? All those guys were cops. They're dirty cops. They ended up in prison.
They stick together.
And they stick together. They knew my whole past. They knew I didn't snitch. They knew that I was good. Like, they checked me out. But just
going to prison, a lot of people don't make it out. So when you talk about appreciation, just coming home.
And you know what? This is going to sound harsh. Every man should go to prison and should go to the armed forces. It teaches you respect. I never understood respect until I went to prison. Mm-hmm. You walk straight. You don't look to the sides. Yeah. You know, you don't touch people's stuff. I mean, you learn basic human respect. Yeah. Most men today are disrespectful. They don't understand. Mm-hmm. Today, we're living in a society where you can say anything on social media, put somebody down, and not deal with consequences.
You know, I've experienced it.
We all have. There's no consequences. I've been canceled twice, and it's like I just get to a point that I have to focus. So I stopped doing politics. My goal now is I have to stand before God Almighty, and I want to be the kind of man that when men are broken, I don't want, it's funny. I have a company called Sales Partners International that we started for hiring felons. And my goal is this: keep the hustle, change the product.
That's perfect.
And so I want to take on the most broken men, work with them, help them, and be able to teach them to gain their self-worth. Because when a man knows his worth, he no longer needs to impress another
man.
Makes
better decisions.
Absolutely, 100%.
So that's where you're at. You don't have to impress anyone.
I don't, no. I love
who I love. You're impressive. Are you impressed with yourself?
I'm impressed by the fact that I realize that anything good in me comes from God Almighty, that I have no reason to lack anything except my relationship with Him, that even though I'm a broken man, a not perfect man, that even though I get up every day and I have my personal struggles, my personal demons that I have to deal with on a daily basis, I know something that never changes, will never change, and that is the Word of God. That is me going on my knees and saying, Lord, my life is in your hands. Yes, I feel weak today. I feel broken. My account is upside down. I just lost a $2 million deal. I don't know how I'm going to make it. Doesn't matter what's going around me. Oh, my wife got sick, or my daughter got sick, or this happened, or my brother-in-law passed away. No matter what's happening around me, something never changes. And that's the love of God for me and His purpose for my life. And once you understand that you are not here for yourself, you're here for a bigger purpose, then the purpose carries you through.
Jesse, it was a pleasure having you on the show, man. I think that's the perfect place to close out. You're listening to Let's Talk. Dr. Hassan Batsy here with Jesse Rowland, a man with purpose.
Thank you.
Thank you.